I just ran to the restroom and Rosemary was in there and she said, "You never get bored in this church." It's the truth. God is not boring. Being a Christian is not boring because he's creative and he's with us and he's moving all the time. As soon as I finish a sermon, my habit is to start asking about the next one. Because I want to know, Lord, what is it that you want to say to your people? And so I did that the last time I preached. It was about Achan. And I'm like, am I supposed to go on in Joshua or what? And he said, no, we're going to talk about strongholds. And I reminded him that I've already talked about strongholds in February. I don't know if any of you talk to God like that and remind him of things, but maybe it's because I live alone. I don't have anybody else to talk to. But I'm like, but God, I just talked about strongholds in February. And he's like, I'm very aware of that. But you're going to still talk about strongholds. And the prophetic act we did will fit in with this, but it's going to take me a minute to get there. But you will see how amazing God is in a few minutes. Most of my Christian life has been spent waging war. And that's partly because I was such a mess. Coming into the kingdom, there were a lot of things that had to be taken care of. I was only 25 when it happened, but in those 25 years, and especially in the years between I was 15 and 25, a lot of things had happened in my life. A lot of things had happened. And, you know, you hear me all the time say, my husband was drunk and I was crazy when we first came to the Lord. And it's true. And there were a lot of things that needed to change. And so as a result of that, I started seeking the Lord about how do I not be the person that I was? What is needed for things to change? And he began to teach me about spiritual warfare. And we're not talking about that specifically tonight. But he began to show me way back in the 70s, there was a revelation through a group called the New Wine Group, which was Charles Simpson and Derek Prince and a bunch of those guys, about binding the strong man, how that was an important part of spiritual warfare, that you had to discover who the strong man was and that we had been given the authority to bind the strong man. And then we learned a little later on, there was another cycle of things that happen about casting out demons. And we learned about casting out demons. And then the Lord began speaking about tearing down strongholds. Now, binding the strong man and casting out a demon happens fairly quickly. You can do it with a prayer quite often. You know, you can figure out what's going on in a place and bind the strong man with just a prayer. And by faith, it will be bound. You can cast out a demon with just a prayer, and it will go by faith. But it doesn't say bind a stronghold or cast out a stronghold. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10, tear down a stronghold. And I looked at a bunch of different translations to read that scripture in 2 Corinthians, and here's some of the other things it says. Pull down, destroy, demolish, dismantle, overthrow, cause there to be destruction. A stronghold is torn down, is dismantled, is destroyed. So I want you to get a picture in your mind of what you think a stronghold would look like. Does anybody have a picture in their mind? What are you seeing, Rosemary?
Well, this sounds kind of strange. When I was growing up, we had this old shed.
Okay, but when you're thinking about like a fortress or a stronghold, what are you picturing? Joy, what are you picturing?
A fort.
Like a fort or a fortress, right? A structure that is going to be around for a while. When we traveled, my husband and I, to England and Wales, there's castles galore in that country, and they are like strongholds and fortresses. Do you think that a stronghold is built in a day? No. Or a week, or a year. Hundreds of years, some of them, took to build. A stronghold is a whole different entity in a whole different kind of warfare. Because the strongholds that we battle now also weren't built in an hour or a day or a year, some of them. Some of the strongholds that we battle in our lives have been around for generations, have been there for a long time. So, a stronghold is a place of defense, a well-fortified position that is ready to defend its right to stay and rule in a certain place. Let me read that again. A stronghold is a well-fortified position that is ready to defend its right to stay and to rule in a certain place. So there's something like governmental in a stronghold also, if it is going to defend its right to rule something, right? It's a place fortified to protect from attack, and it's a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. We all probably have had a demonic stronghold in our lives, either from something that happened to us personally, or as I said, something that has been a generational thing. Where is a stronghold in us? If we as Christians can still, Paul's not writing to heathens here. He's writing to Christians saying, tear down strongholds. And part of the way to do that is to take every thought captive. That statement right there tells me the stronghold resides right here. The stronghold is in our mind. The stronghold is in our mind. In Isaiah 55, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways aren't my ways. My thoughts are greater, my ways are greater than yours. And above that, it says, every unrighteous man needs to take control over his thoughts. In the scripture before that, our thoughts are not God's thoughts, naturally speaking. And the enemy will develop and grow and cause there to be strongholds in our minds. Manned by, you know, if a place is fortified, that means it's got things protecting it, right? So if we have a stronghold, if God is telling us, tear down this stronghold, and we're going to do part of that by taking every thought captive, our thoughts are the things that man the stronghold. They're the soldiers on the wall, so to speak. Manned by wrong thinking. A stronghold is manned by untrue thoughts, partial truths, misunderstandings, and lies. It goes on to say in different translations, take these thoughts captive and everything that rises up against the obedience of Christ. Let me just say that. The purpose of a demonic stronghold is in your life is to keep you from knowing God. And not only to keep you from knowing God, keep you from knowing who you are and keeping you from knowing who other people are. A stronghold, I believe, one of its main reasons for existing is to do something about identity. God's identity, our identity, and how we see other people. I looked in all sorts of translations to come up with these lists of words, but it says, in our mind are not only untrue thoughts, partial truths, misunderstandings, and lies, but arguments, theories, reasonings, proud and lofty thoughts, deceptive fantasies, raised up, all of them, in defiance of the true knowledge of God. When you read that and understand what this stronghold and the things that are manning this stronghold are attempting to do, it is to be raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. So it's not just saying to yourself, I really shouldn't be thinking that. When it, those thoughts, those arguments, those fantasies are being raised up in defiance against the true knowledge of God, we need to take a little stronger stance against them than just, I really shouldn't be thinking that. Because God, I feel like real intimacy comes from knowing and being known. Knowing God and being known by God. Knowing my brothers and sisters and being known by my brothers and sisters. And these thoughts, these reasonings, these misunderstandings, these arguments are being raised up in defiance of true knowledge. That should make you mad. That should make you mad. That the stronghold that the enemy has erected in our lives is keeping us from the knowledge of God. And if the battle is in our mind, some of the tearing down and destroying and dismantling is to happen in our mind, right? If that's where the fortress is, and that fortress is being manned by lies and things, that's where we need to fight the fight, to begin with, at least. In Romans 12:2, and this is in the Passion Translation, it says, we need to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And it says this, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. A total reformation of how you think. Because our thoughts are not his thoughts. And our ways are not his ways. Our minds need to be renewed, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And you know, in that scripture in Romans, it says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture. To me, one of the things in the stronghold is comparison. When we're comparing ourselves to the culture around us and saying, I need to dress this way, I need to look this way, I need to act this way in order to be whatever it is that you think you should be. Again, it's an identity thing. Rather than saying, God, I want to look and act and talk and be like you. Like you. Not by the culture around me. Not by the ways of the world. Not by the who says what makes you beautiful, what makes you strong, what makes you smart. Not by those things. But by what the Holy Spirit of God tells us is our true identity. So comparison, I believe, is one of the things in that stronghold. Casting down imaginations, in the King James Version, it says when it talks about taking thoughts captive, it says cast down imaginations. And I know some of you have heard this story, probably many of you have heard it. I was a master at vain imaginations. I was really, really good at it. In Romans 1:21, it says that we are vain in our imaginations. Now, God has given us an imagination. It's part of what makes us creative. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But vain imaginations, vain means producing producing something with no result or useless. Baseless thoughts that can overtake rational thinking. And realities that you create in your own mind from a place of fear or trauma. Now, there were many ways that I had vain imaginations before I knew the Lord, but I'll tell you the one that I can tell you. So my husband was drunk and I was crazy, and he would not come home some nights. I would have dinner ready on the table. Alan was born. We didn't have Sarah yet. And we'd be waiting, 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 and hours would go by. And he would not be home. And it was before the days of cell phones. It was like 50 years ago. So the longer he was gone, and the more I waited, my imagination kicked in. But it was baseless and useless. So it didn't take me too long before I was convinced he'd been in a car accident. I mean, he undoubtedly had been drinking. So I am now picturing him off the road somewhere. And then another bit of time goes by, and it didn't take too long for me to think he's probably dead. And be imagining that my husband has died. And then not too long after that, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to wear to his funeral. Your mind will do. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. Your mind will take you somewhere. I'm planning a funeral and what I'm going to wear when he comes staggering in. I have been working with baseless and useless information, and now I want to kill him. Because of all I've been through. That is a stronghold in our minds. That one thing happens, and before you know it, you've gone from here to here to here, to the worst case scenario in situations. And some of it is based from a place of fear or trauma. It's there because you've seen something like that happen. In my case, my father had been killed in a car accident driving drunk. That was probably the beginning of that stronghold in my life. Again, a stronghold doesn't happen overnight or in an hour, but this happens, and then this happens, and then it doesn't happen again, but something familiar happens, but it might as well be the first thing. And your mind has you going all kinds of places that is useless and fruitless. Imagination is a good thing, but not a vain imagination. is I read in the definition, a stronghold will constantly be fortified to defend its position to rule. And in this case, the enemy is going to defend his position to rule your thought processes, because he wants you to stay bound in this way of thinking. Your brain will be looking for proof to defend its position. Lies will interpret the meaning of situations to you. What if, for instance, you have and have battled all your life a stronghold of rejection or abandonment? It could have happened any number of ways before you were even born. It could be a generational thing. You know, I hear people all the time say, my mama was a worrier, my grandma was a worrier, I'm a worrier, we just all worry. That's a stronghold. That's an inherited generational thing. Because worrying keeps us from acknowledging the truth about who God is. Keeps us from knowing him. It says, worry about nothing, but in all things, pray. Worry about nothing. So if you have a stronghold of rejection, and I'll just use myself as an example, and you come in, and you're just about to say something to me, and I rush right by you, that stronghold of rejection will interpret what my action means. It probably means I just used to use the restroom, if you want to know the truth, if I'm rushing by you. But the stronghold of rejection will tell you what that means. See, you really aren't worthy of being noticed. See, nobody really cares about you. See, I probably shouldn't even be here because nobody really cares about me. And on it will go. Because your brain is looking for proof to defend its position to rule your thought life. And we tend to see, when we have a stronghold of some sort in our lives, to see everything through that filter, whether it's rejection or abandonment or anger, or it can be any fill in the blank or many, any or many different things that we've ended up with because of a series of events in our lives that have traumatized us, or just lies we have believed, false teachings that have been passed down in the church sometimes becomes a religious stronghold in our minds, and we see things differently. We see life through that filter. I'm not worthy of being loved. God probably thinks I'm unlovable too. And others really don't want me around. That kind of thinking is a stronghold in our lives. And a stronghold in our lives will also make us blind to any circumstance that speaks of love or acceptance, because that's not what the stronghold wants to defend. Right? If a stronghold is constantly fortifying its position and wanting to defend its position, which is based on lies and half-truths, it is constantly going to be fortifying that. And any good thing that comes will just roll away. Because it's a stronghold. Because it's a fortress. It's something that has been long established and well built and stays in our lives. So the title of this sermon is Creating Strongholds. And we've talked for a few minutes about the ones that we don't want, the ones that we need to dismantle and tear down brick by brick by brick, the things that we can see that we hate and can't stop from happening, that we can begin that process. But I'll tell you what, every vacuum will be filled. So we can remove things, but if we don't put something in its place, it will just come back.
Yes.
I promise you. If you don't uproot a tree, sprouts will go from that tree.
Yeah.
It may take a while, right, Stephen? Right. If you don't pull dandelions out by the root, you're going to be mowing dandelions because they will continue to come back. And you can dismantle wrong thinking, but if you haven't made an exchange or decided I'm going to do it some other way, and God, do you want me to have some kind of a fortress in my life, some kind of a stronghold in my life, it will just come back. In Jeremiah, at the beginning of Jeremiah, in chapter 1, in the second half of verse 9, God is giving Jeremiah a challenge and saying, this is what's going to happen with your life. And it says, behold, I put my words in your mouth, oversight of the nations and kingdoms. Now, do you know what? God has given each one of you the oversight of a kingdom. The kingdom of God in you. He has given every one of you the oversight of a kingdom. The kingdom of God in you. And so God says to Jeremiah, here's what you're supposed to do. I put my words in your mouth for the oversight of nations and kingdoms. Root out, pull down, destroy, and overthrow. But he doesn't stop there. He says, so that you can build and plant. It's not enough to destroy and tear down and dismantle a stronghold and just leave a pile of rubble in your life. It's not enough to do that. He wants us to build and plant. And so I have to believe that, first of all, he's going to equip us to do that. In the Passion Translation, in 2 Corinthians 10, also it says, I'm just going to read the whole thing. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Yeah. So he has given us the energy, energized us with divine power to do this work, brick by brick, to start taking down the demonic stronghold. But the rebuilding, the scripture in Isaiah hasn't changed, that our thoughts are not his thoughts. The rebuilding comes not from our mind, dear friends. The rebuilding has to come from our spirit. On Tuesday nights, we've been going through a book and talking about how our spirit is the main part of us. That when we became born again, what was it that was born again? It was our spirit, because our spirit had died to relationship with God through sin. And so when we become born again, it's our spirit that comes alive, and our spirit was always meant to be the one that rules our lives. Our spirit is meant to be the strongest part of us, not our bodies, not our souls. And our mind is part of our soul, mind, will, and emotions. And our emotions will be greatly affected when our mind is messed up, if there's a stronghold there. And so we're not going to rebuild with our mind. We're going to rebuild with our spirits, because our spirit is the main thing, the most important part. Not with arguments and reasoning, but with a person. With a person that knows everything about us. With a person that knows when the first brick of that stronghold was laid in your life. With a person that lives outside of time, who can go backwards and forwards and be present all at the same time. To not only dismantle the demonic, but to start building a godly stronghold in your life. The stronghold is a person. Psalm 31, 3 and 4 in the Amplified says, "Yes, you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Draw me out of the net that they have laid secretly for me. For you are my strength and my stronghold." God, you are my stronghold. You are my stronghold, God. Not the thing that's been erected in my thought patterns and in my mind by the enemy. That we tear down. But you, Lord Jesus, are my stronghold. You are my fortress. You are my help. Guide me. Lead me. Help me. Empower me. To tear down what needs to be torn down and to rebuild what needs to be built up. In Psalm 18, 2, it says, "My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my keen and firm strength, my shield and the horn of my salvation." Our stronghold is a person. The person who created us. The person who loves us, the person who died for us, the person, the only person that can heal the thing that caused the stronghold to begin with. The only one. The Word of God is our stronghold. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Our minds are renewed and transformed by truth. And just like the building of the demonic stronghold was a process, so is the building of a godly stronghold. It's a process. It's a process. The first dismantling that I did in my life was because of my upbringing. I was reared in the Roman Catholic tradition, and we were not allowed to read our Bibles in the generation that I grew up in. It may have changed now, I don't know. But we were not allowed to have a Bible or read a Bible. And so when I first got saved and started reading the Bible, I'm like, whoa, that's not what I learned. Wow. And I realized that I had some wrong thinking based on how I grew up, what I was taught when I grew up. And it can be any kind of tradition. It doesn't just have to be that. So, but there's more than that. Brick by brick, we need to be intentional about not only tearing down the demonic, but building the godly. And the first place to start is to say, God, do I have any demonic strongholds in my life? Because you might be sitting there tonight saying, I don't think I've got any. I bet you do. I bet you do. But you really honestly may not know. Because it's become, that way of thinking has become so much a part of your life, you don't even recognize that it's wrong thinking anymore. It's been in place a long time. And so the first place to start is to say, God, do I? And if I do, will you show me where to start? Where is there a stronghold in my life? And then once he shows you, because, you know, it's defending its position, as we read before, and it's accusations and false things and half-truths, and we need to just say no. And sometimes just those two letters are enough. Yeah. when you recognize, hey, wait a minute, wait, I'm going away. No. I'm not going. It doesn't mean the whole thing's dismantled yet, but you have to start somewhere and you recognize what it is. If it's rejection or if it's self-pity or if it's anger or if it's lust, any number of things, the first time your mind starts, no. And if you have to do it 10 times, 20 times a day, start somewhere. It's a brick being loosened. It's a brick being taken out of place. That you're saying, you are not going to defend that demonic position any longer in my mind. You are not. So no. No. And that's when it talks about taking your thoughts captive. Putting them under arrest. In the Passion, it talks about marching them away like in a military fashion, like you're marching them. I picture that sometimes. Now, here's a good way to use your imagination. Picture that thought with two MPs behind it being marched to prison, right? Picture that. Use your imagination that way. And then apply the truth. Let me just say, you need to know the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. And the Word of God being truth will show you what is not true. Not only will it become truth to you, but it will be like, oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. You need to read and know the Word of God. You need to declare the Word of God. You need to speak it out loud, because you speak out loud the things in your mind from your stronghold. You speak those things. It might not be in a room of people, but I bet you speak them out loud, or at least to yourself. Start speaking the truth. Start declaring the truth. Start using your mouth to say, I am the beloved of God. I am accepted in the beloved. I am not rejected. I am accepted. I am loved by God. Whatever it is that the enemy is repeating, you start taking, rather than, you can say no, but we can put all of our energy in the fighting of the lie, and the better use of the energy is declaring the truth. Is declaring the truth over and over and over again. Say no out loud. And I do that sometimes. If my mind gets going where it shouldn't, I'll just say no. No. We're not going there. You need to meditate on the word and memorize the word, so that when all of a sudden something comes up, something better comes up. Yes. And you know you've got the weaponry to fight the lie. You've got the truth in place. It's been proven that what you say over and over and over again actually creates patterns in your brain. So whether it's a lie or it's the truth, a pattern in your brain will be established. So what would you rather cause a pattern in your brain? A lie or the truth? This process doesn't happen automatically. It takes you being intentional and saying, I'm going to do this work because I want to know the truth about God and myself and other people. New brain patterns. New healthy responses will automatically flow, just like the unhealthy ones did. So if, for instance, rejection is one of your unhealthy patterns, you don't have to think about feeling rejected. You just do. It just happens. And so when you start exchanging the lies for truth and you start getting new brain patterns, it's just going to automatically happen. The enemy can come and say you're this, that, and the other, or a person can even say that to you, and automatically truth will replace it. I am beloved of God. I am a child of the King. I have a stronghold that I'm hiding in. And it won't have to be intentional anymore. It will just happen. It will just flow from that. Your new godly stronghold will defeat the truth. Your imagination will be used to see and to create godly things. Do you think God, I think about him creating the world. I bet he imagined it first. I think he did. And then he just spoke it into being. But he had an imagination. He imagined you. He imagined you, Tasha. And you, Jerry. And you, Steve. He imagined you and then spoke you into being. He imagined you, William. He imagined you. So our imaginations will change. We will start hearing secrets from God when certain strongholds are gone and others are built. Because it will be just the opposite of all the list of arguing and vain imaginations, all those things we talked about. It will be truth. New strongholds will be built. Lord Jesus, you are our place of defense. Our spirits are well fortified with truth, and it will be ready to defend its right to stay in control. Our spirit and the truth it holds will protect me from enemy attack. It will be fortified with truth. Your spirit will begin to sing a new song. It will begin to tell you the truth about who God is. He is a good God. He is a just God. He is a loving God. It will begin to sing a new song about who you are. In John 13, I think it is, I love the passage where, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 is the Last Supper. And it says that Jesus was fully aware that the Father had placed all things in his hand. And he knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. Jesus had a godly self-identity. God, I know what you have given me. And I know where I've come from. And praise God, I know where I'm going. Do you? Can you say, I am a teacher of the Word of God. I am a musician anointed by God. I am an administrator gifted by God. I am whatever it is you are. It's okay to say that because it's the truth. Jesus knew who he was, that he'd been given all power. And he said things like, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth. Was he proud? No. He was confident in the, he had a godly stronghold in his life that told him the truth, that helped him to believe the truth, to act out the truth. And our spirit, full of truth, will also tell us the truth about other people. Lisa doesn't hate me because she rushed by. It will help us to see and understand and love and forgive one another. Because our stronghold holds truth. Truth. Are you willing to do the work? It will be work. It will take time. Will you be patient with yourself and with others as we do it? As we tear down those things that try and make themselves bigger and stronger and truer than God. And we allow God to put new bricks from our spirit, from His person, from His spirit, so that who we are is a stronghold of truth. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that we'd make a decision tonight Lord, we're not trying to be rebellious. Some of us just don't know. And we've been lied to for so long, we just don't know. We don't even know it's a lie. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that you would reveal the truth of what's going on inside us. Not so that we can beat ourselves up or hate ourselves more, or condemn ourselves, Lord God, but so that we can tear down a stronghold that keeps us from knowing you and knowing ourselves and knowing others. And we pray, Lord God, that we would begin to build brick by brick more of you. Truth. The truth about who you are, God. The truth about who we are in you. And the truth about each other. We want godly strongholds. We want to be able to defend the truth of the kingdom, Lord God. In us and through us. We want to be immovable. That we will be so fortified with truth, Lord, that it doesn't matter what comes against us, that we will stand strong. Lord, we had a picture of a stronghold tonight as we circled the children. Help us, Lord, to be building new strongholds, not only in our own lives, but in our families, in our churches, in our communities, Lord, filled with truth and imparting truth to one another, that we will not be moved, we will not be shaken, but we will stand strong for generations until you come again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a need of prayer tonight, please, there will be someone available up here. There are refreshments this evening, so if you're able, please stay and have some fellowship. And pray for one another this week, because I have a feeling some of us are going to be doing some work, and we need to pray for one another. Be blessed, be strengthened, and go in truth. Amen.